Okay, so good morning, everyone. You can translate to Chinese? Okay, just translate good morning first. Okay, it's not correct. Next time. Sort of. 大家早上好。 Anybody here for the first time today? Yeah? Okay, anybody else? Okay, welcome. Before the Dharma talks, we usually start with, what, the bowing first, right? It's the first thing we usually do before a Dharma talk and oftentimes before sitting meditation. And I wonder how you feel about that, if you're accustomed to that tradition yet. Especially if even if it's not your first time coming here, maybe you're getting new or just getting familiar with Buddhism. And maybe you're not so familiar with our founder. Well, the first bow we do to the Buddha. Second bow is to our founder. Third bow is to the speaker. And I don't think any of us have met the Buddha of 2,000 or so years ago. At least maybe we don't remember it. Maybe we haven't met even the founder of this place. And maybe some of you don't know who I am, just some young monk. So to do bows, maybe feel kind of strange. Don't know who you're bowing to or why we should bow. And in the beginning, I also felt that way. What's with all the bowing? We're bowing here, we're bowing there. You walk in the room, you bow. You leave the room, you bow. Before you sit down, you bow. Lots of bowing. I wasn't accustomed to it in the beginning. But after time, it just felt very natural. That putting my palms together, you know, having all of my attention on showing respect and thanks or gratitude to these teachers, it just became natural. And after having received so much from, of course, the Buddha, all the teachings and all the practices that we have originated with the Buddha, and the center, our lineage, all the teachings that we have and use every day to find peace in our life comes from, in part, from our founder. And after having gained so much, it just feels so natural. And knowing that these great teachers, for them to bring the Dharma to us, be able to share it with us, they had to go through great struggles and great pains and sometimes great obstacles to even be able to share the practice. And for them to get benefit from the practice, to be able to have mastery of themselves, of their own mind, took such great dedication that it's really unimaginable, the dedication it takes to really bring about a transformation in oneself. And they had that dedication and consistency. And they shared it with us. So bowing, in a sense, is just being grateful. Even if you don't feel it in the beginning, that's fine. Over time, you may find that it's natural. That sense of gratefulness is there. And you may appreciate bowing even more. So behind that, we remember the dedication and the persistence of these great teachers is what allowed them to find this genuine peace of wisdom and compassion. Dedication was that huge element. So I'll translate. I didn't forget. 那不知道今天来的有没有第一次来的人？有哈，一两位，刚才也有几个人举手。那不知道你们在我们讲开始或是演讲之前，都会问讯合掌，然后问讯，用一种恭敬的心去向佛啊，我们创办人还有讲师，就表示尊敬还有感谢。不知道你们的感受是什么？在问讯的时候合掌啊，有的人可能会觉得可能会觉得没有什么感觉，不会觉得有感谢的心或是感恩的心，也可能会觉得还没有那种恭敬的心，不是那么自然。但是呢，好啊，大家都在问讯，我跟着问讯。讲开始前问讯呢，吃饭前问讯，一进大殿问讯呢，然后出去问讯呢，常常问讯呢，不知道在问什么讯。问讯本来是问候讯息，你知道吗？问讯呢，你对人问呢，问候也是问讯呢。但是我们的问讯是包括那种恭敬啊，还有感恩的心。一开始可能没有感觉，就是在一个动作而已。但是呢，久了，你可能会真的感受到那种感恩心，那种感谢的心。你用功修行，用功学佛法，你的生活，你的生命就有一些转变。从一些很多困扰，很多烦恼之中，能够稍微减轻烦恼，稍微轻松一点，稍微觉得安定啊，你自然而然会觉得，对啊，对佛法，对老师们，对佛陀，自然都会觉得很感恩。因为这些老师们能够弘扬佛法是很不容易啊，他们能够弘扬佛法呢，是要经过很多的考验，很多的困难呢，很多的障碍，但是他们是持续啊，他们非常有恒心，有信心，也愿意经过那么多困难去帮助我们呢，把这个佛法禅修能够分享给我们呢。那释迦牟尼佛，我们创办人，我们这边的法师们，还有你们的朋友啊，都要很努力，用功，才有真正的生活上的一些转变好处。那佛陀，尤其是我们创办人，就是因为有恒心，就是因为不断的努力，持续的努力，他们才有真正的受用啊，真正的体验，还有真正的能够了解佛法禅修，而能够分享给我们呢。那这样子一想啊，感恩心可能会升起，如果还没有升起的话，可能自然的也会升起啊，那种感谢的心，为三宝的那种感谢感恩。那在这些大士们的心里面呢的力量呢，来自这种恒心 determination， 也是什么，怎么讲呢？ determination， 恒心是那种 persistence， determination 啊，决心呢、啊、对啊，决心呢、啊、determination。不断的努力才有一些心理上的转变。所以今天讲的题目，先我们知道啊，这个大师们的努力来自哪里，大师们的成就 他说我们现在有的佛法的因缘呢、啊、源头啊So what does this have to do with today's topic? Well, anybody know today's topic? It's what? Fast food Zen. Interesting, huh? Sounds interesting. 今天的题目是什么呢？我刚才讲的跟今天的题目有什么关系啊？今天题目啊，翻成素食参禅呢。大概不晓得素食参禅是什么，也跟英文的翻译有一点点的不太一样啊。可以翻成素食禅，素食不是吃素的素，不是 vegetarian， 不是蔬菜的素食，是快速的速啊 ，fast food， 你们都知道啊。So maybe you already know the answer. Maybe you already know all the content of the Dharma talk based on the opening and the title, Fast Food Zen. Maybe you don't. But I'd like to first ask, just to see if you can relate to this whole idea that I'm about to present. I wonder if you eat fast food, or if you have eaten fast food recently. How many? Fast food including McDonald's, Arby's, Taco Bell, includes microwave dinners. Subway is also included. Some diners, although they're not so fast. What else? A cup of low-fat yogurt. Anyone? Low-fat yogurt. Some kind of low-fat something that comes in a cup. Pretty much fast food. Okay, thank you. 大家最近有没有吃素食？就是像麦当劳啊，还有 Taco Bell 啊，还有什么？这些名字我都不会翻译啊。Taco Bell 啊 ，Pizza Hut 啊，还有那个 microwave dinner 是不是微波炉餐？是这样子翻吗？微波炉餐，有没有？可以举手。都没有，真的吗？还有什么？包括包括好像是健康的，低脂肪的什么饮食啊？比如说一杯的优格，它是没有脂肪的 ，low fat， 好像很健康，有没有？什么？不管是什么，只要他写 low fat， 有没有吃到啊 ？Why am I asking this? Well, I was inspired recently, partly by a movie that just came out. It's a documentary. It's called Fed Up. How many have seen that movie? You have. How many have heard of it? Fed Up. Came out just recently, and it's a documentary on.You could say the American diet or the fast food industry, including the industry of processed foods. It's also kind of fast food, including low-fat foods, things like that. including especially, which I almost forgot, cola, soda.This movie was just showing the situation of what's really in the food. Not so much all the different ingredients, but that they all contain high amounts of what? Some would say fat. First reaction may be fat. Sugar. A lot of this food, if not all of it, especially the low-fat food,You think low-fat, oh great, I can eat more. Low-fat has even more sugar. And what's so bad about sugar? Well, actually, sugar's really not too bad if you just have a little bit here and there. And we think, oh, I'll just have a little bit, I have a piece of cake, and that's it. One piece, or half a piece, or quarter of a piece every day. Or one chocolate. Anybody have a rule for yourself? I allow myself one chocolate per day, and that's it. That's fine. But what they're showing is that all this food contains sugar. So apart from the one piece of chocolate, or apart from the whatever that you allow yourself, it all has sugar. So by the end of the day, your daily allowance, which should be like something like 4 teaspoons, if I remember right, by the end of the day, you've had over 20 teaspoons, maybe even more. And what happens is that this fast food, which is it's very convenient. Sometimes we eat it not because it's tasty. I don't know if you think fast food is really tasty, but it's fast. And it can satiate our hunger very quickly. And how long does it take now to get food? Actually, if you go to McDonald's, for example, how long does it take to go from the, you know, the drive-up window to getting your food? Anybody know? It takes 5 minutes? Maybe less than five. Well, so that's fast. 5 minutes, you get a huge bag of food. So we may eat it because it's fast, but it's filled with a lot of sugar. And there are problems that happen from that. Big problems. So in a 素食啊, 我们都会吃到素食啊,不管是麦当劳还是什么东西啊。 素食包括那些叫做processed food,精制品啊,精制食品。processed吗? 经过很多层次的处理,加很多化学的,也加什么,这些饮食啊,所谓素食的好像不健康的地方在哪里啊? 为什么素食 听说是不健康的? 第一个反应可能是,哦,脂肪啊,脂肪很多啊,都用炸的,都很多油啊,对不对啊? 那除了脂肪啊,最大的问题, 是糖啊,糖很多 那吃一点点糖也没有什么问题啊,我们每天可以吃一瓢啊, 就是一teaspoon 不会讲啊, 调羹啊, 怎么讲, 厨师啊, teaspoon 就是这么多, 茶匙啊, 好像跟茶匙少一点, 我们可以一天吃四个 茶食啊，那我们可能会说，好啊，吃一点点的糖没有问题，一天吃一颗巧克力，就是不能再吃。但是我们没有发现，所有的这些素食还有精制品食品里面都很多糖啊，超过了四个茶食啊，应该是20几个，如果是加起来三餐。 三餐的饮食啊，都加糖啊，加起来是超过20几个，很多啊。那吃那么多糖有问题吗？ 好像有问题啊，有争论。但是呢，这部电影是有很多的一些研究啊，就说有问题啊。So, what are the problems from eating a lot of sugar? And I don't want to spend too much time talking about sugar, but it's very interesting. For those of you who have kids, kids eat sugar, they go wild. And they can't calm down. It's very difficult to calm down. Or maybe after you have a cup of Coke or a supersize or coffee with, you know, many, many, many teaspoons of sugar, it's delicious. But afterwards, maybe very jittery, hyper. And mentally scattered. But in addition to that, actually they're saying that this is what really builds fat. This is what's making a lot of Americans, people who live in the States and in these countries that eat this food, obese. And also creates a lot of other physical problems, diabetes, all that kind of stuff. It makes your liver go wild. Your liver doesn't know what to do with all the sugar. Keep throwing sugar down there. The liver's like, okay, what do I do? Well, just put it on the side. Put it on the side over here. And how does it put it on the side? Turns it into fat. So it seems that in the beginning, to be able to have this food, which is made very quickly, kind of tasty, very convenient. It's just, you know, why not? The benefit of saving so much time, it seems great. It seems like a great convenience. And we've been eating these foods for how many years? 20 years, 30 years, or probably more than that. How old is McDonald's? 50s? 60 years? Over 60 years. But now we're finding the after effects of eating this food is very detrimental on our health. So, I'll just say that much for now about this whole fast food thing and sugar. I recommend go see the movie, Fed Up. It's easy to remember. Very well made and very well researched and very well produced. And you can judge for yourself whether or not fast food is good for you or not. For now, let's just say it's not. For the sake of this Dharma talk, it's not good. Otherwise, the rest of the Dharma talk won't work. So, for now, fast food is not good. Too much sugar. 所以呢, 这个素食的问题啊, 糖的问题, 好像 问题不是很大, 也许啊, 会这么认为。 那也许如果你知道吃很多糖的人的一些反应啊, 是像小孩子吃很多糖果啊, 会怎么样啊, 会跑来跑去啊, 跳来跳去啊, 好像发狂啊, 吃糖啊, 发狂, 没有办法安静, 然后呢, 就, 太调皮啊, 很多问题啊, 或者是你自己喝咖啡啊, 那咖啡加很多糖啊, 或者是喝可乐, 喝很多啊, 喝过以后会觉得, 可能会觉得不舒服啊, 太兴奋了, 或是就是不舒服啊, 那这些问题啊, 就是比较表面的, 这部电影里面的研究就, 就提到说, 吃很多糖啊, 最大的问题, 就是一个是会, 肥啊, 会发胖啊, 另外一个是会对内脏啊, 是很大的负担啊, 你的什么, liver, 肝啊, 你的肝, 它要处理很多这种糖啊, 这种类似糖的饮食啊, 它会很辛苦, 为什么呢? 因为你一次放那么多啊, 它不知道怎么处理啊, 它就, 啊, 怎么样, 怎么办啊, 好, 那个就, 那个消化一下, 放在旁边, 消化一下, 放在旁边, 那他怎么放啊? 他放的时候, 会变成脂肪啊, 一个是人, 会, 会发胖啊, 就是不健康的, 很快的, 会发胖, 另外, 就是, 会有类似糖尿病啊, 种种的病会出现, 问题很多啊, 如果你每餐吃的东西都有糖啊, 自然而然, 你是天天, 吃太多的糖啊, 那就导致很多健康的问题啊, 那我在这边没有办法更详细的说, 虽然我觉得很有趣啊, 如果你觉得有趣啊, 想要多了解, 你可以看这部电影啊, 叫做Fed Up, 很容易记啊, Fed Up, 他们做得很好, 那个研究也有基础啊, 就是很彻底的去研究这个素食, 还有糖的问题, 所以我不多做说明, 没有时间, 但是呢, 我们今天的开始, 我们就有一个概念了, 虽然有很多争论, 我们现在接受说素食是不健康啊, 好不好? 现在不要有争论了, 要不然我没有办法讲下去啊, 没有办法连贯了, 所以素食, 我们就知道啊, 是不健康啊, 你回去之后再去确定, 去了解。 Within Buddhism, we also have what seems like fast food. Do you know that? Within Buddha Dharma, well, there's no fast food sect, but there seems to be what seems to be like a fast food sect of Buddhism, which is what? What sect? Pure Land. He said Pure Land. Chan, Zen, Son. This could be, or could seem like, a fast food approach to Buddha Dharma. A fast food approach to what? Resolving our problems, resolving our stress and anxiety. Because why? Not the fast food school. The Chan school. The Zen school, Son school. For now on, I'll just say Zen, because it has a nice ring to it. Fast food Chan, fast food Zen. This Zen school, Chan school, professes that there is a sudden approach to enlightenment, a sudden approach to resolving our stress, anxiety, we say vexation. Supposedly, suddenly, instantly, we can experience this freedom or liberation from our problems. So it seems like there is a fast food approach even in Buddha Dharma. Maybe we can explore that.
那素食好像佛法里面也有素食，佛法里面也有一个麦当劳派，一个素食派。 那是什么宗派啊? 哪一宗啊?
嗯，对，不是净土宗，有人讲啊，不是净土宗，好像是禅宗啊，嘿，好像是自己的宗诶。禅啊，禅啊，我们刚才讲素食是不健康啊，怎么会讲到禅呢？禅宗是像素食宗，表面上。 因为禅呢，会讲到顿悟，有没有听过？顿悟啊，就是禅宗的一个特色，就是能够顿时间能够转化，能够顿时间断掉，或者是顿时间把烦恼除掉啊，一下子没有问题，自己的心里的种种的障碍、烦恼、困扰不见了。 有可能吗? 这算不算是一个素食宗派? 算不算是叫做走捷径啊? 是这样子讲吗? Shortcut, 是吗? 我们可以了解一下。The Chan School, Zen School, talks about sudden enlightenment, this sudden transformation, sudden dropping or leaving behind of our anxiety, our stress, our problems. On the surface, it seems like it's very easy, very fast. We just get it, I guess. And even before the Chan school, it seems that there was traces of this, even during the Buddha's time. Or at least it seems like, well, the sudden enlightenment thing happened way before the Chan school came about. Did you know that there are quite a few examples within the early, so-called early or fundamental teachings of the Buddha, stories of practitioners who would just go and meet the Buddha and all of a sudden, boop, their suffering is vanished. They experience this liberation, freedom of mind. Shariputra and Moggallana, I think that's how it's pronounced. Do you remember those two? Shariputra is like a household name in Buddhism. Moggallana was the one with what? What was his specialty? Psychic powers, that's a different one. Hope I didn't pronounce it wrong. That's a different one. Moggallana had the special supernatural powers, psychic powers. These two were good friends, and actually both of them had a kind of sudden enlightenment. when Shariputra, it's not when he saw the Buddha, actually. He saw, it was another great disciple of the Buddha, his name escapes me. He was one of the first five monks who studied with the Buddha. When Shariputra met this monk, I think I told the story before, it wasn't when Shariputra heard the Buddha. He saw this other monk, and this other monk just said a few words. Shariputra had this flash of insight. He experienced what it's like to have no suffering, no anxiety. Suddenly, it seemed like he didn't have to do anything. It was another example. Within the Chan tradition, we know of Hu. Very famous Hu is a woodcutter. He's chopping wood every day. Went to sell the wood in the market. All of a sudden, he heard someone reciting the Diamond Sutra, and boop! He experienced what it's like to have no vexations, no anxieties. Who is that? Sixth Patriarch, Kuei Neng. Everybody knows the story. And maybe you try to go and find that line of the Diamond Sutra. What was it? This line? No, it's not that one. Okay, here it is. Ready? Let me just prepare myself. Okay. Without abiding in anything whatsoever, let the mind arise. Yeah. Didn't work. Maybe you've tried that. I've tried that. When I first started studying Buddhism, I was waiting for my sudden enlightenment. Read a story and then just sit for a little bit. See what happens. Now keep reading. Seems like it was so easy. Without doing anything, they just had this transformation, this experience of sometimes just a glimpse of this Buddha's mind, a liberated mind. Other times, they were liberated for the rest of their existence. No more problems for them. No more anxieties. So it seems that not only the Chan school, but within basic teachings of the Buddha, this sudden enlightenment is there. What's it all about?
<咳><咳>不只是禅宗有顿悟，大家有没有看过或者是听过，在佛住世的时代啊？ 有好几个弟子也有顿悟，他们也不是修墨照，不是修话头，也有顿悟，你知道吗？好几个，舍利佛，知道哈？舍利佛还有叫做目犍连，是吗？目犍连，他们是好朋友啊。然后呢，目犍连，舍利佛是称为就是他的智慧最高的。 目犍连是什么？神通第一的，很多神通变化的功能。<咳>他们两个人都是有顿悟的体验。舍利佛还没有学佛的时候啊，还没有见佛陀的时候，他就见到另外一个法师，我忘了他的名字，他是五比丘里面之一，然后他的威仪很好。 他走路非常安详啊，舍利佛就看到他很感动啊，请他讲开示。讲了几句以后啊，舍利佛就有悟啊，有悟到啊，有常到没有烦恼的心的状况，好像没有修行，没有做什么就能够悟。还有呢，有谁啊？禅宗里面。 很重要的一位大师，他本来是劈柴的，在森林里面天天劈柴，然后劈完以后到了市场啊，叫什么？超市，<笑>到了超市去卖他的财物，他的木头啊，然后听到人讲《金刚经》，听了以后就悟，那位是谁呢？六祖大师。 六祖慧能<咳>好像是没有修行，听到一句佛法，听完以后就开悟，好像很简单，好像那么快就能够有成就啊，所以好像是那种走捷径啊，shortcut 素食禅的一个例子啊，那到底这是什么状况啊？
Before explaining how that's possible, why that happens, I think we all may have had a little bit of expectation upon encountering the Chan teachings, Zen teachings. And we can all be honest. I myself, encountering Chan, hearing all this stuff about sudden enlightenment, it's just so attractive. And even though we may know that, well, it's sudden, but it's not easy. Why? Well, I don't know. It's just probably not easy. Maybe we even know that. Or for those of you studying for years, you already know that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to do retreat after retreat after retreat after retreat. We seem to know it's not easy, but it's so attractive that we want results quickly. We want to get enlightenment, and we want it now. Because of that, there's an industry of sudden enlightenment. There's people out there who know we all want it quickly, sudden results. There's an industry of giving people so-called fast food Zen, methods that seem to help you get there with ease. I don't know if you've ever seen, when I do email, sometimes the topic or the content of the email has, of course, words like enlightenment, Buddhism, meditation, and you get advertisements that correspond to your content. So on the side, there are all these advertisements, and I often see meditation pill. Have you seen that one? Meditation pill in small print, you know, instant results. Enter deep concentration with a pop of this pill. I've never clicked on it because I'm afraid where it will get me. But it seems like there's a product, a meditation pill. There's also machines, sort of like hypnosis machines. I don't know. I saw something like that on The Exorcist 2. Have you ever saw that? The Exorcist 2, she's like sitting in front of a machine and it gets her into samadhi. And then she can see all this weird stuff. I don't know if that machine exists, but there are machines, meditation machines, that say guaranteed deep absorption, something like that. Unbelievable, but there's stuff like that. There's also retreats where they promise you guaranteed enlightenment on this retreat. Have you seen that? Advertisements for within a few days, guaranteed, maybe not liberation. Okay, that's a stretch. At least an enlightenment experience. At least a taste. What's called seeing the nature in the Chan school. You get a taste, guaranteed, on this retreat. Would you like to go? It's up to you. You could look into it. It's very alluring, very attractive. And there's an industry around this that can pull people into this idea of enlightenment, freedom from stress and anxiety comes easy. So, 听到这些故事，可以一下子开悟，一下子顿悟。 非常诱惑人，对不对啊？一听可以一句话，一下子开悟，一下子没有烦恼，太好了，太诱惑人了。那我们，我相信，我们学习禅法、禅修，多多少少都有心里面的一种暗示，就是，对呀。 我也可以顿悟，我也可以像那样子，一下子就没有烦恼。<咳>虽然可能是修行了很多年，也打了很多次禅期，打过一次也发现了，嘿呀，不只是一次禅期就悟啊，还要继续的打，不容易啊。也亲自体验过禅修，不是那么一下子可以有成就，但是呢，心里面。 可能还存一个那种意识啊，那种概念呢，还是可以不努力而开悟，还是可以看一句话就顿悟。 因为这样子太诱惑人，我们就是容易有这种概念。那因为这样子的话呢，就是有一个 industry 就是什么，人家知道啊，怎么样利用人的那种错误的概念，而有会形成一种事业吧，行业，怎么样让人家觉得可以一下子开悟，会有很多产品出现。什么产品呢？有没有看过一个药丸呢？一吃就可以入定，是吗？我那个 email 里面，电脑上面我看过，我们要去按那个东西啊，怕进去会有什么问题啊，会有 virus 啊。好像有药丸呢、啊，可以一下子让你入定，或者是呢，有机器，有什么机器放在你面前呢，看着机器就入定啊，不需要用功啊，一下子有什么效果？或者是呢，有一些禅修活动啊，他们的宣传里面写说，你参加这个禅修 guaranteed 确定你会有悟的体验，你会有开悟的经验，可能没有说你一下子可以解脱，那个太不容易啊，但是他说你可以开悟啊，体验一下悟境是什么，我们禅宗里面讲见性啊，体验一下。因为这样子就很多这种产品的出现，能够诱惑人，让人更觉得开悟是很容易的事情，很容易不努力而有成就。And so what happens with that? It just feeds our craving for fast food Zen. As soon as we taste a little bit and get an idea that instant gratification, we can get instant results.It actually just increases our craving. Supposedly, going back to the statistics of the movie, the more a person eats fast food, actually the more hungry they feel. The more sugar you eat, you still feel hungry. Even though you have other food in there, the sugar and that kind of food, you don't feel fulfilled. It's stimulating you, stimulating your body, your brain, and your senses.And you feel that you need to eat more. Your craving only increases. That's one byproduct of this fast food. We could say it's also a byproduct of fast food Zen. Thinking that it comes easy, trying to use all these different products to fulfill, to gratify ourselves, to try to get instant results. This desire for quick results just becomes greater. But does this correspond with the basic teachings of the Buddha or the simple reality of what's called cause and effect? With the cause of not doing any work, can we get something done? Even in ordinary situations. Let me just sit here and not do anything, and then something will happen. I need work, but I don't really feel like looking. How about I just sit here and the job will find me?Maybe that sometimes that happens. You have good friends, good connections, seems to find you. But really, is it doing nothing that gets a result? According to the basic premise of this reality of cause and effect, not practicing, not working hard, how can that yield enlightenment or results? What does that yield? That's a good question. 这种问题啊，这种素食禅的问题啊，我们越追求速效啊，快速的效果，我们越有贪心，越想要得到更快的一些受用啊，就像素食一样啊，吃素食听说依那个纪录片子的那些资料啊研究
吃素食不会饱啊。吃素食虽然可以装很多食物啊，在肚子里面装很多，吃很多糖的话呢，你还会觉得饿，还会觉得不够啊。就是因为糖啊，会刺激到身体还有脑部，会让你觉得不够啊，还想吃，还要继续吃。所以越吃素餐素食会越饿，然后越吃越饿，越吃越饿，那有种种的问题出现。这种素食禅呢，我们越想要很快的开悟，当然我们就越有这种贪念，有这种不正确的也很麻烦的追求心，它会更强啊，越来越强。但是呢，有没有发现素食禅呢，或者是能够一下子开悟啊，如果不努力啊而一下子开悟啊，如果是那么容易啊，这个是不是跟佛法的根本的概念呢，或者是我们可以说我们生命的实相啊的一个根本的道理啊，原理啊，叫做因果。因果这种素食禅是不是符合因果呢？好像不是啊。因果是要做什么才有什么结果，要有一个成就，要努力啊，对不对？一般我们生活也是一样啊，没有工作是不是可以不找而一下子工作就找你有时候好像会啊你的朋友会帮你的忙啊，有关系就找到工作，但是不能说完全什么都不做而有这种成果应该是要努力才有成果嘛所以不努力而求成果，不努力修行而求开悟，当然是有问题的，是违背这种实相的原理啊，因果的原理啊。 So what happens when we just seeking these results, we want this fast food zen? What are some problems that can happen? We know the problems that happen with eating fast food. The problem of always craving, always seeking for results, seeking for fast results. I'm sure if you've tried to meditate with that kind of mindset, you don't feel good. Body and mind is very agitated. Have you ever tried that? Maybe even in the beginning, just think of your first sitting meditation. Oh, come on, sit down, adjust my posture. Breathe a bit. Shifu said, follow your breath. Okay, so follow my breath. Am I calmer yet? Feel calmer. Think I'm calmer. What time is it? I don't really feel too different. Hey, when's this stuff going to work? Hey, Shifu, how long does it take to feel good, get calm, and enlightenment? How long does that take? I have an appointment in about 30 minutes. Waiting. When's it going to happen? I don't feel anything. The mind is agitated. Physically, we're uncomfortable. Mentally, we're vexed. Could be more so than before we sat down. Adding this agitation to our mind. The seeking mind for quick results is instantly. What are we getting? We're getting instant vexation. It's not instant enlightenment, it's instant vexation. Once we seek for quick results. 那素食禅的一些问题啊，一个很明显的，一有追求心就是有烦恼，追求安定啊，追求舒服啊，比如说打坐，可以想到你第一次禅修的体验，第一次用方法可能是打坐，一坐下去啊，好，师父说用方法就好了，用方法就有成就，就有效果，好，那我就用啊，坐好，体验呼吸，好，体验呢，有没有不一样啊？好像有一点不一样啊，但是不明显啊，现在几点啊？已经坐了5分钟啊，还没有感觉。师父啊，
要做多久才有感觉啊？做多久才能够入定、开悟啊？我很忙啊，大概2点多我要出去啊。我们很明显会感受到身体是不舒服的，感受上啊，挤呀、啊，不舒服啊。心理上啊，也是不舒服啊，念头妄想纷飞，不安定啊，更不安定啊。这种追求心、追求快速的效果，不是顿悟啊，是顿时间有烦恼。基成法师常常讲啊，是另外一个悟啊，另外一个错误的悟啊。你顿悟啊，一下子你吃错的，一下子有烦恼，是这样子的一种啊，这是一个比较表面的负面的反应。就是因为追求，就是这样子，浮动的心，身心浮动，叫做什么？心浮气躁啊，做不下去。Some other problems could be that, well, maybe you encountered a teacher who said enlightenment can be quick if you follow this method, one of the so-called maybe instant enlightenment retreats, probably wouldn't give you a pill, but maybe told you some other method and told you you were enlightened. Take a 2-week class, maybe do one retreat, and you have some very interesting feeling, interesting reaction. And they confirm your experience. Now you're one of the enlightened ones. Welcome to the land of the enlightened. Light comes down, or there's some procedure. You're congratulated. You feel very good. Yeah, I do feel enlightened. I do feel different. Feel great. Probably just being complimented is enough to make you feel a bit lighter. Enlightened or enlighter. What happens if a person believes that they're enlightened, if they're just having some kind of reaction, some kind of experience? It's very possible they have a false sense of achievement, a sense that, well, now I'm enlightened, so I'm better than everyone else. All these other people, still not enlightened yet, sitting down there, or look at these people moving when they're meditating. They probably didn't have the experience I had. A person may develop this very strong sense of arrogance in believing that they've now acquired something. They've become one of the great ones. So a sense of arrogance can build to the point where they don't even notice it, but that their mind is disturbed. The mind is disturbed by arrogance. The mind is agitated with thoughts of, I'm great. In addition, they're unable to then be honest with themselves. They're unable to continue to practice and say, I have problems, I have vexations. Because how could they if they're already enlightened? So what happens, they may not practice anymore. They say, who needs to practice? I'm finished. I've had my experience. I'm done. Practice is for unenlightened people. Then maybe they encounter a difficult situation. They finally encounter some situation where they're challenged. Vexations arise. They're disturbed, and they realize it. They may then lose a lot of faith in the practice. So what was that enlightenment all about? That was enlightenment? So I'm enlightened, but I still have vexation. And that may bring up a lot of confusion. They may give up the practice. Lose faith, lose confidence altogether. That's another, even more detrimental kind of situation. They leave it all behind, and they're left with vexation. 另外一个问题是，可能你的素食禅老师、素食禅师应可你，应可就是说，确定或者是告诉你你已经开悟了， 因为你用他的方法，他的方法就是素食禅，一下子开悟，一下子有成就。那当然他是会告诉你，你已经悟了。如果他的方法是素食禅，一下子开悟，那没有人开悟，那不是方法不好吗？所以应该是说会有很多悟道的人呢、啊。那轮到你的时候啊，可能会觉得，哎，是啊，那个经验就是开悟啊，对呀、啊。老师说的对啊，我是开悟的。有一个什么仪式啊，那就欢迎你到开悟的人的世界里面，好好的享受，好好的体验。自己认为已经悟了，已经没有问题，可能会导致一个很大的问题，那就是慢行。这个在佛教里面叫做增上慢啊，就是更高啊，更厉害的一种傲慢呢、啊认为已经悟了，所以别人都是烦恼鬼，别人都是众生啊，我才是佛，我才是菩萨，别人都是有问题，你看他们打坐动来动去啊，抓来抓去啊，哇，这些人可怜民者，可怜他们没有开悟的体验，像我一样。一个是这样子的慢心，算不算烦恼？算啊，虽然有时候他会觉得很舒服啊，受到尊重啊，好像没有烦恼，但是那种心也是波动啊，波动很厉害，很粗，但是自己可能没有发现，然后因为自己认为是开悟的，所以就不需要修行，对不对啊？如果是这样子开悟，还要修吗？他就不修，他就轻松的过日子，开悟的日子，开什么悟的日子？等到这个逆境来的时候啊，比较困扰他的状况，而触动到他的情绪烦恼，可能会发现，哎，还是有烦恼，奇怪，什么感觉？我以为是已经开悟啊，还有烦恼，做什么？奇怪啊！那到底我开了什么悟啊？那个方法，那个修行啊，我到底修到哪里去啊？烦恼很重啊。开悟大概是假的，修行是骗人的，可能会放弃修行，可能不会想修行，对佛法、对禅、对悟完全失去了信心，把它丢掉。结果呢，这个才可怜，把修行放弃。剩下是什么？更大的烦恼，更大的问题，这个多可怜呢。There's also another kind of situation where actually a person could be psychologically damaged with the so-called fast food Zen. I haven't personally done a fast food Zen retreat, a so-called guaranteed enlightenment retreat. But there are quite a few of these self-styled Chan masters out there promoting these retreats. How does it work? Don't know. But there are some people who come out of these retreats and they tell their stories of so-called being broken, mentally broken or damaged. How? Well, they experience something. They experience some drastic change, some big difference in their body and mind. But that experience leaves them feeling very unstable, and they're unable to function normally in daily life. They may even experience something which seems very similar to maybe what we think of as enlightenment, or what's called unified mind, a mind without any scattered thoughts, any disturbing thoughts, you know, irritable thoughts and thinking that irritates us. We all know what that is. Emotional fluctuation. They experience a state of mind where that's all absent. Just a kind of peaceful clarity. A clarity that they feel there's no problems. But they're unable to actually then function. Their mind, you could say, is short-circuited. shut down or broken down to the point where maybe some of you have experience with this situation. It's a mental breakdown to the point where the mind, the body, protects itself by turning off its function of discrimination. Because it's already been stressed to the point where the person's about to mentally, physically become damaged. It's like an emergency shutoff switch. And you're left with just blankness. But there's some kind of peace and clarity there. It's relief. Going back to daily life, they can't function. And it's very difficult for them to deal with situations. And it may take time for them to repair after that so-called meal of fast food Zen. That's one of the more serious problems that can come about with this seeking mind and with this overdose of mental and physical pressure that leads to that semi or, say, fake enlightenment experience. 另外一个更大的问题，就是听说，因为我没有参加过素食禅期，听说有这些素食禅期老师们保证你会开悟，那种禅期呀，有一些效果。但是呢，有一些参加过的人讲他自己的故事，讲说他在禅期之中。 在接受他们的那种素食禅的方法，有一些体验呢，好像是一种悟吧，好像是一种，可能是同一心吧。我们同一心是，同一心是一种没有妄念干扰，没有情绪的波动啊，没有妄念的干扰的状态，讲同一心，安静、宁静、清楚。 好像他们的体验至少是同一吧，但是呢，体验过以后，素食禅期过后回到生活很困难的，没有办法融入生活，没有办法有正常的生活、正常的做事情，而且呢，他的心变成非常脆弱，没有办法，好像是同一的过后啊，就。 很浮动啊，很不安。那种状况就是在那种方法，你给人很大的压力啊，压力到受不了的时候啊，你们可能有经验，或者是有一些就是你的专长啊，是知道心理的状况，有一种叫做 breakdown， 精神崩溃，精神崩溃是压力过度，压力啊。 这个形成太大的力量，身心受不了。那个时候啊，你的身心有一种可以说是一个什么，一个 switch， 一个按键呢，或者是一个紧急用的开关。当你受不了的时候啊，压力太大，你把开关关掉啊，这个身心的那种分别作用啊。 能够有思想，能够有情绪的作用，暂时关掉，暂时把它停下来，要不然身心受不了，这个人会受伤。结果呢，顿时间，短时间安静，因为分别不起作用，没有情绪啊。但是呢，过后啊，整个身心是不安不稳定，没有办法生活。 那这种状况比较严重啊，也是因为第一，人的追求心太强了；第二，老师给学生的压力逼迫太过分了，让你产生类似好像悟的体验，类似同一心的体验，但是是假的，是因为那种素食禅的方法。 而导致的一个体验。So, can we all agree that fast food Zen is also not good for your health? If you don't agree, that's fine. You can go home and continue to research. You can experiment. You can try these retreats, you can try these approaches to practice. I'm sure you'll find fast food Zen, fast food Chan, is also not good for our health. And it goes against the basic principles of cause and effect, basic principles of the Dharma, and can cause us just more vexation. I think we can agree upon that. So, 我们是不是有共同的意见，或是共同的想法呢？共同的概念，素食禅对你身心的健康是不好的，素食禅修是不健康，我相信大家会同意。可能还有一些可能不相信呢，你可以回去研究，你可以去参加素食禅期。 用素食禅修的方法去试试看呢，有什么效果？但是呢，我相信你会发现呢是有问题的。你修出来的都是烦恼，都是问题的。So what's the proper approach then? What is the proper approach to Chan, to Zen, sudden enlightenment? 所以呢，素食参禅呢？ 或是参禅呢，顿悟，真正的顿悟的意思啊，或是修行是什么呢？什么叫做正确的顿悟的修行法？ Dramatic pause. Shifu used to use an analogy of cooking a pot of rice. Do you remember that one? Cooking a pot of rice. How do you cook a pot of rice? What's the right way to do it? I haven't cooked in a long time. I don't know if you've cooked recently. Cooking rice, you can't think of the automatic rice cooker. That doesn't count. That's automatic. Cooking a pot of rice. Can you just turn the flame up really high so it cooks faster? What happens? Burns. What if you turn it up really high, but then just, well, you got to do something else for a minute, and then you turn it off. And then you come back and turn it on again. And then, oh, wait a second, let me turn it off. Does that work? What kind of rice do you get? Maybe you could cook it, but you probably get really crunchy rice. Basically, rice that's been soaking in cold water. Crunchy rice. What's another way to do it? I guess you could just leave it in the cold water for a really, really, really long time. But the rice that you get probably isn't tasty. I haven't tried that. But it's probably not tasty. Maybe not so healthy. By that time it may be moldy rice. Not healthy. A proper way to cook rice? Well, the analogy says the rice flame has to be steady and consistent. But actually, I think cooking rice in the beginning, you need to bring the water to a boil, right? So it's got to be a little bit higher in the beginning. And then you turn it down to a simmer. It's almost analogous to starting the practice may be difficult. Maybe the most difficult part. To convince ourselves we need to practice. And to take that first step. To come to the practice center. To do the first retreat. Maybe that's like the first big hurdle. Afterwards, we just have to be consistent. Maintain consistency. That's how to cook our pot of practice rice. That's how to mature or develop our mind. 煮饭呢？有没有听说过煮饭的譬喻？师父常常讲过，修行就像煮饭呢？煮饭怎么煮呢？是不是可以？ 因为要赶快吃，就把火开得大大的，能不能啊？行不行啊？煮出来的饭会怎么样？焦焦的，或者是呢？能不能说开一下？好，我再忙一下别的事情，再回来开一下。哦，忘掉了，还有一个事情，关掉，去忙，再回来，一直开，一直关，一直开，一直关，结果呢？煮出来的饭是怎么样啊？僵僵的。 要很用力的咬碎的饭呢、啊，不好吃。另外一种可能是啊，放很久啊，可能不要开火，放很久就放在冷水里面了，行不行啊？一直放啊，放到软了，可能要放多久？放一个礼拜，放一个月，可能会软呢、啊，可以吃啊，但是吃起来，大概是不好吃吧。而且呢，放那么久，大概发霉了，不能吃，不健康。修行是在就像正确的煮饭的方式，煮饭那个火要持续保持一个适当的温度，不能太大也不能太小。而且呢，煮饭好像一开始要大一点，让那个水啊滚，对不对啊？先大一点呢，水滚起来，再小小的火，要持续到那个饭呢煮好了才可以吃。那就像我们修行，有时候第一步是最困难的，第一步要走进一个修行的场所，第一次打禅期，第一次打坐，可能是一个挑战呢、啊，要比较用力的努力的把自己让自己走进禅门来。但是你一修行，你就是要怎么样持续的努力，你的修行自然而然会有成果，自然而然有效果，你会成熟。So what does this mean then? What does it mean to mature or fully develop? What does it mean when we have a fully cooked pot of rice? We could say a fully cooked pot of rice is what? Buddhahood. It seems like something very, very far away. Doesn't matter how far. Could be liberation. Maybe that's an analogy. A really cooked pot of rice is liberation from our individual pain and suffering and anxiety. Also seems pretty far away. But it doesn't matter how far away. It could also mean the rice is cooked when we see the nature. Seeing the nature, according to the Chan tradition, or this concept, refers to a taste of a liberated mind. One moment, few moments, flash of an instant, one experiences a mind that's dropped vexation, a mind that's dropped this big burden of I, self-attachment. I want to get enlightened. I want to get Buddhahood. I don't want to suffer. One moment of dropping all of that, you can say, is another way that the pot of rice is cooked. And you could also say that that experience is sudden. Right? It happens suddenly. When rice is cooked, rice also suddenly is cooked in a sense that when it's fully cooked, it's suddenly fully cooked. The moment before it's fully cooked, is it fully cooked? No. 3 minutes before it's fully cooked, of course it's not fully cooked. 2 seconds before it's fully cooked, depending on your standard, still not fully cooked. Only the moment that you take it off, you prepare it to eat it. Maybe you eat it. It's fully cooked. Suddenly, you eat the rice and you gain the nutrition, the benefit from properly cooked rice. You could say it's sudden, but it's also preceded by what? Whatever came before sudden, that sudden change is preceded by effort, practice. So with our chan practice, whether it's the experience of a moment of a liberated mind or lasting freedom of mind, Buddhahood, all of it is preceded by gradual practice, effort in some way. So 这个煮饭呢, 成熟啊, 什么时候成熟呢? 成熟就是可以吃, 叫做成熟啊, 然后也可以说成熟的那一刹那, 也是炖的，炖时间我们的饭成熟了，煮好了，对不对？也可以说是炖的，饭煮好了，炖时间是好了，对不对啊？如果是还没有煮好的，前面一秒钟还不算煮好，然后如果是三分钟前也不，当然不是煮好的，就是那一秒钟，那一刹那，一下子煮好了，可以说是炖的，一顿一顿饭，对不对？一顿一顿饭呢，一下子煮好了。但是呢，煮好之前，能不能说什么都没有？那段时间煮好的饭之前，都是有一个过程啊，都是要努力啊，要用正确的方式去煮饭，对不对？不能说什么都没有。那我们的禅修一样啊，禅修的整个过程啊，要持续持续的努力，才会有成果，才会成熟吧。不能说什么都没有，什么都不要用功，什么都不要修，一下子给我悟吧。这样子的修行会有问题啊，我们知道。所以煮饭呢，我觉得是很棒的一个例子啊，持续持续的用功，自然而然会成熟啊。So this example I think is great, where the results or the fruition or the maturation of this process of cooking rice comes about through the appropriate methods, the appropriate approach, the appropriate practice. We get results, but we have to work for it. We have to be consistent, determined, just like all the great practitioners before us, our teacher, all the way back to the Buddha. They all had their sudden enlightenment, sudden transformations after a lot of persistence and practice. And it's also, it's another similar analogy where to eat a meal and be full. You could say when we're full, we're suddenly full. Before we're full, we're not full. But if we're eating and thinking, when am I going to be full? Let's try. Am I full yet? Let's try another bite. Am I full yet? Seems not. Let me try another bite. Am I full yet? Does anybody eat like that? You'd probably get, one, a stomach ache and a headache at the same time. Waiting. When am I going to be full? When am I going to be full? When am I going to be full? I think that usually the way we eat is we just eat and naturally we're full. When we're full, then we're done. If we eat fast food, maybe we don't know when we're full. Another problem of too much sugar, you don't know when you're full. You keep eating, you keep eating, you keep eating until there are problems. So we just eat. We just eat, naturally we're full. Again,practice, if we're always waiting, seeking, when am I going to get there? When am I going to feel something? Maybe you're not seeking enlightenment. Maybe you're just seeking peace or comfort. When am I going to feel peaceful? When am I going to feel peaceful? That's not going to get us anywhere but more vexation. So practice is the same. We just do what needs to be done. We just, as we all have heard many, many times, we just use the method.Return to the method, as well as use the concepts. Return to the concepts and methods. Use them. Naturally, we get benefits. 煮饭是好的例子啊，吃饭也是好的例子，好的一个譬喻。吃饭的时候啊，要不要想说，因为吃饭呢，我们饱了，也可以说是顿时间饱了。那是不是说吃饭的时候也要一边吃一边想什么时候饱啊？再吃一块，什么时候饱啊？好像还没有饱，再吃一下，什么时候饱啊？好像还不行啊。谁会这样子吃饭呢？等待吃饱的时候，这样子吃啊，大概是不舒服啊，大概会 一个是胃会痛啊，一个是头会痛啊，胃痛头痛啊，吃饭都是很这样子吃不开心的事情啊。当然我们不是这样子吃饭，我们是吃饭啊，吃到饱了自然饱就够了。修行是用方法，用观念，实际的用它，持续的用它，自然而然我们会有成就，会有效果，不需要追求，不需要等待。So this kind of approach, we could call it, because if it's not fast food Zen, what could you call it? Real food Zen or organic Zen? Organic, natural process. Go through the practice, it's a natural process. You get results. 这种修行，正确的修行，如果不是素食禅，可以叫做什么禅呢？什么禅呢？有机禅。还有什么禅呢？自己创意。真正的食物，或者是正餐禅呢？正确的一顿餐的修行啊，也许可以这样子的形容啊。So this kind of attitude, we're not waiting for things to happen. We're just practicing. As long as we know what are the right methods, what's the right approach, we just do it. And enlightenment is not the only benefit, is it?Is it like, yeah, hope not, because we're all sitting here doing what? How many retreats? 59 retreats. Enlightenment? Before enlightenment, are there no benefits? If that was so, I don't think people like Bob and all of us would be doing retreat after retreat, coming to talk after talk.Sitting day after day. And I'm sure many of you could come up here and share the benefits that you get from the practice. And you don't even claim to be enlightened. Maybe you are enlightened. Maybe you just don't claim it. But you also know that before this completely transformative insight, there are plenty of benefits. Relaxation of body and mind. To be able to relax inall situations, or to be more relaxed, or just a little bit more relaxed. Isn't that a benefit? To have a mind that's not so distracted, disturbed, very sharp, a little bit sharper, a little bit less disturbed. To be able to interact with people in a more comfortable way and even have a sense of caring for other people.To be able to take care of other people, or to be a little bit more caring, or a little bit more comfortable with people. Isn't that a benefit? I think so. And all those benefits come about through the process of using the practice. And you could even say the very moment of using the method, there are benefits there. Right? The moment that we...have our mind on the method, the moment that we're practicing relaxation, that we're practicing concentration, we're practicing awareness, stability. For that moment, we have that much more stability, clarity, relaxation, and ease. So a moment of practice is a moment of benefit, sudden benefit, the moment you use it.Right there, that's benefit, suddenly. 那禅修这种禅修的利益啊，禅修的好处，除了开悟啊，有好处吗？没有人说啊，除了开悟有好处吗？有啊，要不然好像很多人打过好几次的禅期。或者是来过好几次的开示，天天打坐，天天念经，天天念咒啊，念佛啊。 如果说除了开悟都没有好处，大概是我们都不会再修行啊。就是因为有好处啊，因为我们用方法，用正确的方法还有概念，就是有好处啊。什么好处啊？身心放松啊，心境啊，安定一点，更清楚，更是处理事情能够处理得更好，对待人更慈悲啊，或者是慈悲一点点，再慈悲一点点，或者是呢稍微安定一点点，稍微放松一些，也是好处啊，对不对啊？然后呢，用方法的当下就是一个好处啊，用方法的那一念呢，就是好处啊，也可以说是顿时间的一个好处啊。那一念把心放在方法上，方法就是练习着放松，练习着集中，练习着清楚觉照啊，不受干扰。那一念呢的方法就是一个好处，也可以说是一种顿时间的好处啊，对不对？ So with this attitude and this approach to practice, this is the healthy approach, the healthy Chan diet. Keeping away from the temptation and all the trouble that comes along with fast food Zen, fast food Chan, we do our organic Chan. We use our practical approach to practice. We just do the practice. We gradually practice. Gradually there are benefits. Naturally, benefits come about. Benefits, little enlightenments, big enlightenments. We just emphasize practice and let everything arise naturally from that. We could say this is the healthy approach to Chan practice. And suddenly, once you practice, suddenly you can experience it for yourself.所以呢，现在我们知道素食禅不健康，有机禅才健康。有机禅就是用正确的概念还有方法来修行啊，也不是等待成果，而是努力的修行，把重点放在修行的上面。只要方法跟概念正确啊，就是有好处啊，然后好处是自然而然产生的。小悟大悟，什么好处，小的好处都是自然的而产生的，我们只管呢，只负责用功修行就好啊，那就很健康啊，没有那些副作用啊，也不会胖，胖了也不会不开心，因为有方法开心的胖啊。So I think time is about up for today. I hope this sharing was useful for everyone. Maybe it's something you've heard, you already know, but maybe you can share it with other people now, and feel free to use the name Fast Food Zen. I claim no rights to it. Feel free to use it to share with others and help us all have a more healthier, happier approach to Chan practice. So 今天时间到了，不能再讲。希望今天讲的东西对大家有帮助。可能你们已经知道这些东西，可能印象更深刻一点。还有这个素食禅的名词，你可以随时用，随时运用来分享给别人。我没有什么叫什么什么权呢、啊？
智慧财产权、
啊。专利啊，没有智慧财产呢、啊，随时用啊，随时分享啊。这样子就鼓励大家用健康的正确的方式来很开心的很健康的来禅修学习佛法。 OK, so thanks everyone.